Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. I want to ask you the most important question. Are you born again? Well, Pastor Sammy, what are you talking about? Do you mean that you go back to your mother's womb and be born again? Well, this is the same question when a religious leader named Nicodemus asked Jesus. Nicodemus was a great leader. Unlike other leaders, he was seeking the truth. He watched carefully what Jesus was doing. Rather than criticizing Jesus, he wanted to be close with Jesus and discuss about the truth with him. He wanted to know why Jesus was so different from others. He even knew Jesus came from God. He came at night to Jesus to tell about this. I mean, isn't it like many of Christians these days? They come to church because there is something different about Jesus. They want to know more about him. They participate Sunday school to learn more about the Bible, the Word of God. Now, all of these are great. I love to see more people coming to church to learn about Jesus Christ. And God is doing something great these days. Because of COVID-19, more people acknowledge how fragile life is, and they're afraid what would happen after death. So they look for the answer and come to church to get the answer. Just like Nicodemus, lots of people are seeking the answer to life. But this should not be the end. Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." How? You must be born again of water and of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you will not go to heaven. Now, this is a very striking statement, and it applies to all of us. If you are not born again with the Holy Spirit, then you cannot go to heaven after you die. You can be curious about Jesus, you can seek the truth, you can read the Bible and pray really hard. But if you are not born again with the Holy Spirit, then you cannot go to heaven. You'll be in the eternal punishment. So let me ask you this question again. Are you born again? If your answer is no, you have a serious problem. Then how can you be born again? John 1:12 says, "If you receive Jesus, if you believe in his name, you will be his child." In other words, you will be born again. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead, in your heart you will be saved." So if you believe that Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead, you are saved. You are born again. Now, if you say, "Yes, I did all this. I believe in Jesus, so I am born again." Good. But how do you know that you are truly born again? You may say, "Brother Sammy, I just said that I believe in Jesus, so I'm born again." Well, my next question is, how do you know you truly believe in Jesus? Now, I want to ask all of you, how do you know you are truly born again with the Holy Spirit? Is there an evidence? The answer is, yes, there is an evidence. Today, I'm going to talk about this evidence, so please listen carefully. I want you to examine your heart to see if you are truly born again with the Holy Spirit. Let's read today's text from Galatians 5:16 through 25. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, verse 16 says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit is the key message for you today. Today's passage starts and ends with that phrase, walking by the Spirit. Now, walking by the Spirit is the evidence that you are born again with the Holy Spirit. Okay. How does walking with God look like? It says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, what's going on between the Spirit and the flesh? Look at 17 and 18. It says, For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, what's the relationship between the Spirit and the flesh? They are enemies to each other. The Holy Spirit is against the flesh, and the flesh is against the Holy Spirit. They're like water and oil. They're always separate. They cannot become friends. They cannot tolerate each other. You are led by the Holy Spirit or the flesh, not by both at the same time. The Holy Spirit or the fleshly desire leads you. There is no other leading you, nothing in between. You may say, well, I have my own will. My will leads me. My decision directs me. I can do whatever I want to do. That's my life. Well, my friend, verse 17 says, you may not do the things that you please, which means you cannot do things on your own. You might think your will is leading you to make decision for the day. But let me give you a shocking message news for you. What you think your will is not your will. You thought you lived all your life with your will, but that is not true. Or there is no such thing my will in this world, because our will is contaminated and corrupted by the flesh. Ephesians 2:1-3 says, You are dead in your sin and transgression, according to the course of this world and the prince of the power in the air. And you lived in the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh. And by nature, you were children of wrath. This is the true nature of us. We all lived in the desires of the flesh, whether you like it or not, according to the evil forces of the air. Ephesians 4:22 says, Your old self is corrupted with the deceitfulness of lusts, fleshly desires. Flesh is the factory of producing sins. James 1:13-15 says, Fleshly desire gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. So even without knowing, our flesh produces sin in us that leads to death as a chain reaction. It happens even now at this moment. This sin factory never closes. It never rests. Fleshly desire works 24/7 in all of us. Even though we are not physically dead yet, the Bible tells us that we are already dead in our sin and transgression because of our fleshly desire works so hard and actively in us and all the time. We are dead in our sins, and we got so used to it. So you think everything you think and do is your own will, but what you think your will is fleshly desire that kills you not only yesterday, but today and forever. How does fleshly desire look like? Look at 19-21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the list of what the fleshly desire produce in you. Let's pick just a few of them. Immorality. Do you see morality in the world? Oh yes, of course. It doesn't matter which country you're from. This is everywhere. Sexual fantasy or porn is the most popular keyword people search on the internet. No disaster, even the pandemic, does not stop sex trafficking and porn businesses. In fact, it even accelerated. But not just in the world, look at yourself. Do you see immorality in you? Let me just ask you a blunt question. When was your last time that you watched inappropriate thing on the screen or even thought about inappropriate sexual fantasies? You don't have to answer me, but I want you to be honest before God. God already knows you, so it is time for you to be honest before God. Now, what about idolatry? Idols are not limited to other religious figures, but idols can be anything people love more than God. Do you see that in this world? Of course, there are so many idols. Do you see idols in you? Do you have things you love more than God? It could be money, job, relationship, time, favorite movies, video game, house, success, recognition from others, and even family members. We just touched on two things, immorality and idolatry. But it will take days and days to unpack how many times we lived in these desires of the flesh. It is too much to contain them in these two verses. I want to encourage you to take time to go through this list carefully. Sincerely ask the Holy Spirit to illumine your hearts to see which of these you are doing and are doing right now. I'm sure all of us have done all these things at some point of our life. Yes, our fleshly desire in us led us to sin every day, every moment. Now, sin itself is a huge problem, but the bigger problem is this. Verse 21 says, "If you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, you cannot go to heaven. If you do two out of these things, three out of them, or even one out of them, you cannot go to heaven. Friends, you have to take this seriously. This is not my word. Not many people like this kind of message. They would want to fast forward to skip this message and go to the next fantastic part right away. They want to hear more about God's love. They would love to hear more about hope or comfort. Not this kind of judgmental message, right? However, without knowing what is really going on in us, without knowing the reality of the fleshly desires actively working in us 24/7, leading us to eternal hell, we cannot go to the next. We cannot truly experience the power of Christ. So friends, do not skip this part. Read the list again carefully. This is the list of what is going on in us in reality. That is the list of viruses in all of our body, mind, and soul throughout history that is more deadly and dangerous than coronavirus. That corrupts every aspect of our thoughts and minds that we have lived too long to even recognize and admit that we are sinners. Because of this power of the flesh in us, we are eternally doomed to eternal punishment. Do we have hope? In this deadly body of flesh, do we still have hope? Yes, there is hope. How can you have a hope? By being born again. You have to be born again with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. There's no other hope. There's no temporary cure for your flesh. There's no partial fix in this problem. The fleshly people are dead, so they need to be born again with the Holy Spirit. It must become new. December 2004 is an unforgettable year for me because at that time I lived in Kentucky. I was a poor seminary student. We did not even have a cell phone. On a snowy day, I was on the way to get WIC, woman, infant, children, voucher, you know what it is, to buy milks and cereals for my kids. But it snowed so hard that I could not even see my front. All of a sudden, I lost my control and my car began to skid. Few seconds later, a big sound happened and my airbag was deployed. My face began to bleed. Yes, I had a car accident. Thankfully, I didn't die. I was fine, but my car was totally wrecked. That was the only car we had, so I tried to save it, but it was unusable, not fixable. It was totally broken, so it was dead. So I junked the car. Thankfully, we got a new car. Our flesh is not fixable. Even if you read so many books, do lots of good works, smile more, reduce anger more, and be nice to others more, your flesh is still in you, and it still leads you to hell. It's not curable because it is already dead in sin and transgressions. Only way is to be born again with the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened to those who are born again with the Spirit? There's a new list for those who are born again. Look at 22:23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Totally opposite to the fruit of the flesh. When you are born again, your life changes from life in the flesh to the life in the Spirit. Not the flesh, but the Spirit of God governs and leads your life not to sin, but to be holy as He is holy. Let me give you some examples. King Saul was David's enemy. He tried to kill David so many times. One day, David found Saul and his companions were all sleeping. It was the perfect chance to kill Saul, his enemy. On top of that, David was a mighty warrior. He was not afraid of anyone. He could kill Saul and his troops just like that easily. However, David did not choose to do it because he did not want to kill God's anointed one. If he followed his flesh, then he would have killed Saul. However, he was led by the Holy Spirit, so he showed patience and self-control by not killing Saul. Apostle Paul used to be a killer of Christians. He hated Christians and he devoted his life to destroy Christianity. But on the way to Damascus, he met Jesus. He became blind, but his eyes were opened miraculously. Since then, he devoted his life to preach the gospel and to lead many people to Jesus, whom he used to persecute. And he wrote this Bible passage that we read today. He endured all the hardships. He was in jail, beaten almost to death, and betrayed by his own companions. He went through so much pains in his life for the sake of the gospel. However, he did not lose joy and peace. He faithfully served the Lord and his people regardless of his situation. He definitely showed kindness and faithfulness all throughout his life. Peter used to be a coward. He walked on the water for a few seconds, but he was afraid of strong winds, and he looked down and he sank in water. He was afraid of death. He denied Jesus 3 times. Yes, he was a coward. However, when he met risen Lord Jesus Christ, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he changed. He became bold. He was not afraid of death. He really died on the cross, upside down for the sake of Jesus Christ and his gospel. He showed love and faithfulness, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have so many men and women of God who are born again with the Holy Spirit, showing the fruits of the Spirit. Their lives were changed by the Spirit. Do you have the similar experience? Is your life changed by the Holy Spirit? Do you see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life right now? If not, I want to tell you again, be born again with the Holy Spirit. Then how can you be born again? Earlier I said that you need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. Yes, that is the foundation of your faith. But is your faith true faith or fake faith? How do you know your faith is genuine? Here's how you know your faith is genuine. Here's how you know if you truly made profession of faith. Look at verse 24. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. those who belong to Christ Jesus, in other words, those who are true Christians, have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. They killed their flesh with its desires on the cross. What does that mean? It means that they repented of their sins. Repent of sins? I already did. I confessed my sins 20 years ago at the youth retreat. I raised my hands to God and I shed lots of tears at a concert. So I repented my sins there. Well, that's good. But repentance is not just speaking few words with tears. Repentance is an action. You turn away from your sin and turn to God. That is what repentance truly means. You crucify your sins, your fleshly desires on the cross. You kill your desires for immorality, idolatry, jealousy, anger, drunkenness, and all these fleshly desires on the cross. If you have not done this, you cannot be born again. You do not belong to Christ Jesus. You are mimicking Christians, but you are not true Christians. Lots of Christians think they repented, but they go back to their old lifestyle very quickly. They cry and raise their hands up on high in the worship service on Sunday. But when they go back home, they raise their eyes up to look at whatever their flesh wants to see. That's like you go back to what you crucified. Can you imagine? If you crucified your old enemy, you would go back to there to kiss your enemy? You do not go back to take your enemy down from the cross. You don't do that. You don't want to do that. But lots of people do it. Once you crucified your flesh, you are done with it. You are a new creature. You are born again with the Holy Spirit. Now, you ask me questions. Sammy, I'm truly born again. I see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in my life, but I sometimes fall into sinful actions. I still feel my flesh working in me so hard. What's going on in me? Well, that's a great question. Well, even David, after showing great fruits of not killing Saul, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yes, even men and women of God can fall into fleshly sins. As long as we live in the flesh, we still have fleshly desires in us, even though the Holy Spirit is in us. This is why verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Look at the tense. Most trustworthy translations translate this verb as present perfect, meaning that you crucified your flesh in the past, but you still crucify your flesh now. It is ongoing crucifixion. Jesus died once, and that is enough. It never says Jesus has died. He died, period. Yet he has risen, he rose from the dead, and he still lives. On the cross, he shed enough blood to forgive our past, present, future sins. And he still lives to intercede for us. This is what he did and what he does for us. And now we have our part. We have to crucify our flesh every day. As 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, we need to die every day. This is not passive tense, meaning our flesh cannot be crucified on its own. We have to do that part. That's why Paul encourages us to live in this way. Look at verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's walk by the Spirit. How does it look like? Let me give you some practical steps. Turn away from your sin. Keep turning away from it. So we need to continually repent of our sin. That is the first step that you and I need to take. Now, if you are not born again, I want to ask you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Tomorrow is too late because you don't know when your last time would be. So today is the day. We all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. So we need God's grace, and God is the only one who can save you out of your sin and death, because he sent his only son to die for your sins. And he is the only one who rose from the dead, the curse of our sin. So he can save you today. So come to Jesus. Turn away from your sin. Just don't talk about your sin. You need to turn away from your sin and turn to Jesus today. And also, if you are a believer already, today you need to crucify your fleshly desire on the cross. And tomorrow do the same thing. We need to do that continually. How can we do it? We need God's word. Because Ephesians 6, 14 through 17, it says, the Holy Spirit, the word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. So we have the power, we have the weapon, which is the word of God. That's why we need to take God's word in our hearts. You need to read the scripture every day, meditate on it, and put God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, 11 says, I hid God's word in my heart so that I would not sin. So to fight against the fleshly desire, you need God's word. And also, we need to pray without ceasing. 5 minutes prayer, 7 minutes prayer, it's better than nothing. But we need to do that more. Because our fleshly desire is very strong. And we need to fight very hard against it by earnest prayer, desperate prayer every day. So I want to encourage you to pray at least more than an hour every day. Go deeper with God and ask the Lord with very desperate heart today. So pray and seek Him and read God's word and take God's word in your heart and fight this battle and die to yourself. Die on the cross every day. Crucify yourself. Crucify your fleshly desire and follow what God says to you. That is what it means to walk by the Spirit. And when we walk by the Spirit, there is tremendous joy, peace, the fruits being made in your heart so that people would come and see that you have changed. Wow, what is the secret? So that will open up the door for you to share the gospel with them so that they will be drawn to Him. So let's walk by the Spirit. Let's not give in to our fleshly desire. And let's lead more people to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, we used to live in our sin. And we were dead in our sin and transgressions. But we thank You that You have saved us. And You have given us Your Holy Spirit. So we pray that we will fight this battle each day, that we'll not give in to our fleshly desire, but we will give in to perfectly surrender to You so that we will walk by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we will bear fruits that not only prove that we are saved, but we would be able to lead other people to You. We thank You, praise You. In Jesus' holy name, I prayed. Amen.